This obviously establishes the Jays as a serious player. They were a serious player before. We've been talking about them for weeks. But this is a different level. And when a guy visits a spring training complex, that's probably to make sure he's comfortable before advancing the negotiations to another level.
All right, fan pregame. Let's go. 33 years ago on this day, Justin, was the biggest trade in Blue Jays history. Alomar, Carter, McGriff, Fernandez. Doing a little switcheroo there. Does December 5th get any more Blue Jays lore put to it today as the Shohei sweepstakes get closer and closer to the final push? Blue Jays, one of the most talked about teams in the world right now of sport. One of the only remaining suitors for Shohei Ohtani. We'll have Shai Davidi join us in about 5 minutes to get through all of this. Tonight, another Canadian legend. And Christine Sinclair will play her last game as in a Canadian uniform. Maybe the end of one Canadian career, you know, shuffles into another Canadian career. I'm trying my best to make this happen. We did get a chance to chat with Bev Priestman earlier today. That's actually on our podcast feed already. You can check that out or at the end of our show. We'll play a little clip of that earlier discussion later on in the show. We're also going to chat with Kaylin Kyle, a former teammate and MLS analyst at 6:30 as well, ahead of Christine Sinclair's final game. But we got lots of audio today on the internet. We did find where Ross Atkins was. He was in Nashville speaking to SiriusXM MLB Radio. And this next clip is what we picture when we close our eyes, what you would be pitching Shohei Ohtani in terms of why you want to become a Toronto Blue Jay.
This market, separating out your question that is directed at Shohei Ohtani, if you just talk about the city of Toronto, that it represents a nation, that we now have the best resources as it relates to getting players better. Our facility in Dunedin in 2024, our player-focused facilities that will be in Rogers Center will be, in our opinion, one of one. The ability to acquire players at every level, to maximize spending in amateur and international, to be able to trade for players, to be able to go after high-caliber free agents like George Springer, Yunchen Ryu, and Kevin Gausman, and Chris Bassett. That's an exciting and easy thing to sell.
Oh, I would sign with the Toronto Blue Jays if I heard that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good sales job. And I will say, we've been pretty down on Ross Atkins' media availabilities or availability. The last one we heard, I think, before the winter meetings here was a pretty disappointing one for Toronto Blue Jays fans. But that right there was the perfect sales job without ever saying the name Shohei Ohtani. And as we're learning here as this afternoon goes and this process goes on, saying the name might not be the best idea if you're in the running for his services.
Okay, so explain what you mean by that in case you haven't been on Twitter in the last 20 minutes. Everything's changing. And we're seeing maybe the Dodgers taking themselves out of the running accidentally?
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a stretch to say that. But Dave Roberts, manager of the Dodgers, was, like everybody else here, speaking at winter meetings. And he was, via the reporters, speaking openly about conversations they had with Shohei Ohtani, being very open about their recruitment.
Oh, yeah, we talked to him. He was here.
It went really well. They were really happy with how things gone or had gone to that point. And then Bob Nightingale reporting that he got a text message and his tone changed immediately. Then Brandon Gomes, the general manager of the Dodgers, spoke later and was essentially saying, I don't know why he was talking about Shohei Ohtani. It seems like the messaging wasn't as uniform and perfect with the Dodgers as it's been so far with the Blue Jays, who continue to be mum's the word, but also, like we just heard from Ross, like kind of laying out why it makes sense for Shohei Ohtani to consider the Toronto Blue Jays.
We're going to get Shai Davidi in a couple minutes here, but the biggest thing I think today's shift has taken me down was the facilities. And I know that we talk a lot about Rogers Center getting these incredible renovations, half of them last year, half of them this upcoming year. But the Dunedin, Florida complex is what has been kind of the main conversation point today about that Shohei Ohtani went to visit
with Rosenthal's reporting overnight that he was there. Yeah.
And that if he did go visit it, well, that's a pretty substantial thing to go and do. It's not just like watching a video online. It is going to see the place that could help change your game, could help you rehab to the player you once were. And the Blue Jays have the best in baseball. And Shohei apparently went to see it himself.
And I think our blind spot here, we're going to have Shai Davidi in one second, is that yeah, this guy is still rehabbing an injury while being maybe the best hitter in baseball, or prospectively the best hitter in baseball, and then all these teams going or trying to get his or land his services. If he has to rehab an injury while playing for you, it's going to require good facilities, and that's, I believe, what the Blue Jays have been selling here at least this week. Okay, let's bring in Shai, because Shai's down at the winter meetings, and he has the latest on the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes. Shai, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Quiet times, right?
Yeah,
not much going on.
It's been a fun afternoon. I'm sure it's a little bit more entertaining there. Thanks for taking the time, because I'm sure there are things going on as we speak. With the latest, though, as it pertains to Shohei Ohtani, Shai, is what?
It really sounds like he's in deliberation mode at this point. That he's, I don't know if he's necessarily completed all his information gathering, but it sounds like a good portion of that is sort of done. And at this point, he's got, maybe there are some follow-up questions that are going to emerge from him in the coming days. But it really seems like we're moving towards his end game. So I don't want to say that definitively, because this process has been incredibly complex, incredibly secretive, and really there are a very, very tiny handful of people who are inside his head or know what he's thinking right now. And certainly teams aren't sure, and I think that's why you're seeing the type of caution that Toronto Blue Jays have had around any discussion of the matter there. But teams have sort of done the heavy lifting part of the presentation, and the next steps are whatever Shohei Ohtani decides them to be.
Okay, speaking about complex, how about that player development complex in Florida? Was Shohei, in your understanding, there yesterday or within the last couple of days? And how much of a good sign is that for Blue Jays fans, for example, that he took the time, or we assume took the time, to go and see that development complex, which is the best in baseball, and how much that could help push the Blue Jays over the line if that is a big deciding point for Shohei Ohtani?
Well, you know, I would say this, like, it's pretty clear that he was there, and the way that the Blue Jays have discussed everything in the past couple of days is, here, let me not admit to this while I'm clearly admitting to this. And so that was part of the discussion today with John Schneider and Ross Atkins, where they were very careful with their words. But I can tell you that on Sunday, people who are regulars at the complex were told that the facility was going to be closed Monday for some type of corporate meeting, and that nobody was going to be able to be there. So if you want to bring, or at least attempt to bring, Shohei Ohtani in secret to your spring training complex, that would be the way that you would do it. And so it's pretty clear that he was there. And, you know, now, what did he take from that? Is that going to be the tipping point for him? I don't want to speculate on that. Obviously, obviously, if he's doing the due diligence to get to the point where he wants to visit the spring training facility at this point of his free agency, he's giving very serious consideration to the Blue Jays. But does that push them ahead of, say, the Los Angeles Dodgers? Does that take them back? Does that get them level? That's all conjecture. And so I think the thing that, if you're a Blue Jays fan, you'll look at is, you'll say, the Blue Jays have gotten this to the point where Shohei Ohtani is giving enough consideration to them that he wants to see their spring training complex. They very clearly put their best foot forward. They very clearly have thrown at him everything that they think that they can sell to him, or sell him on. And then ultimately it's what's going to be in his heart, you know, what tips the scales for him. And that piece, I think even for the teams that are involved, is a bit of a moving target.
And they're definitely following the rules, Shai. As you mentioned, they're saying it without saying it, but the Dodgers, or at least one member of the organization, was openly talking about it. Were you there when Dave Roberts was speaking on Shohei Ohtani? Were you there when the general manager was kind of countering Dave Roberts? And what do you make of that situation? Like, is it possible that speaking on Shohei Ohtani prevents Shohei Ohtani from choosing you?
You know, maybe, I don't know. I was there when Dave Roberts made his comments. He spoke immediately after John Schneider, and it was impossible not to juxtapose it, right? And I thought it was really interesting because Dave Roberts started initially down the road of some non-answer. And he said, look, I'm going to be honest. Yeah, we met with him a couple of days ago. I think it went well, but we met with him. And, you know, it was the manager session before that was John Schneider. And everything was like, we meet with lots of people. We're going to keep that between us. We meet with lots of players. We're going to keep that between us. I think it was four or five times that somebody asked that. And so I did not hear the comments from Gomes because I was talking to Ross Atkins at the time. And again, Ross Atkins said, look, I'd like to share information, but I'm going to do everything that out of respect to what the players we're talking to want, and didn't veer from that. And so, look, teams were told that they could be penalized if details of the process leaked to the public. I don't think anybody in the baseball world would be surprised that Shohei Ohtani met with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Mm. I think we've expected the Los Angeles Dodgers to be the team that signs them for the past 2-3 years or so. So it's not like major secrets were divulged. I don't know that I would want to read it. If he ultimately thinks the Dodgers are the place where he can best achieve all he wants to achieve, I can't imagine that would be what prevents him from going to L.A.
I wouldn't be pushing any buttons. I would just have to leave Nashville because I wouldn't be able to follow any of these rules. I'd be gushing with excitement.
You'd be screaming Shohei in the middle of a hotel lobby.
Yes.
Everybody's going to be on their best poker faces, right?
Yes. Well, okay, so if the Dodgers, no, they're still obviously in the conversation, depending on who you ask. But it looks like the Cubs might be out. Lots of reports online today saying that the Cubs no longer consider to be in the race. So that means that the Blue Jays would be the only team remaining on the East Coast. Now, is that, to me, feels like a positive. Like, you know, you're not competing with anyone in your same, like, geographical location. So you're kind of an outlier for a reason. Do you view that as a good point for the Blue Jays to be leaning on, that you're the only team really on this whole half of the continent that could be getting Shohei Ohtani's services?
Yeah, I guess. Like, I think, to me, the bigger picture is, like, just one less suitor, right? Mm-hmm. So you're, you know, being one of, say, three is better than being one of four, right? Each one is, you're incrementally closer. Ultimately, like last time, there was clearly a geographical element to it where he wanted to be on the West Coast. And this time, you know, I think I mentioned this back in October, shortly after the Jays season ended, that, you know, that this time he was open to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of elements of Toronto as a market that should have some appeal to someone like Shohei Ohtani. I think the diversity of the city, the size of the city, the fact that it's a very sports-mad city and Blue Jay fans are incredibly passionate, but I think that he could probably live his life here in a way that he couldn't in New York or Chicago or Los Angeles, for that matter. I think that element could very well be important. So I think more than maybe the significance of Coast is, you know, what this is saying about the positives within the market and how he is perceiving those elements.
Okay, so we're still trying to understand the Shohei side, but you have a firm handle on the Blue Jays side. We always talk about, like, what we can give Shohei. Is there anything that the Blue Jays wouldn't do? Is there anything that's too far down the road that they wouldn't? That they'd have to balk at, whether it's a money thing or whether it's a opt-out clause or anything? Is like anything that is considered an impediment for the Blue Jays in terms of what they would offer, what Ohtani would ask for?
I'm sure with anybody, there's always a line, right? Like, I don't think they're going to be here or have an ownership stake or, you know, you get 25% of the stadium or something like that. And there's always a limit. Mm. But, like, I think, obviously, money is a significant component of this, but I can't imagine that the money is going to be vastly different from between the clubs at this point. There's like going to be a certain barrier to entry that the Blue Jays continue to clear. And so I think more than money, and again, this I've had a number of conversations, and it's really tough to know what is the priority because so few people truly understand him beyond sort of their interactions with him. But some people I tend to trust, I think the way to frame it is who can give him sort of the comforts that he had in his situation with the Angels with the best player resources, the best sort of intangibles around in the community, as well as a legitimate opportunity to win, which is something that the Angels couldn't do on the other fronts. So if you can create that package for him and get him to the point where he thinks that, you know, I'm going to be able to be comfortable, I'm going to be able to achieve everything I want to achieve as a baseball player, I'm going to achieve everything that I want to be able to achieve as a business entity, marketing entity, however you want to describe it, plus give him the comforts that he seeks because he's an intensely private person and he also is trying to achieve what very few baseball players really have been able to achieve over a sustained period. And that requires a lot of pieces in terms of his conditioning process, his routine, his strength training, his recovery, all the things that he has to do to be able to stay healthy taking on the demands of essentially two players at once. That package, whoever provides them that package, that to me is what gets it done. But like what exactly that looks like, that's really hard to say. I think, again, even for the teams that are bidding, they're trying to do the best they can to provide what they think he wants. But how does he weigh them? I don't know that anybody outside his inner circle truly knows.
If he does choose Toronto, I mean, we're going to be lauding the decision to build that facility in Florida until the end of time. Let's say he does sign with the Toronto Blue Jays. Shai, have you begun the process of contextualizing this? Like the impact on team, organization, city, country? Like have you begun to wrap your head around the impact Shohei Ohtani would have if he decides to sign on the dotted line with Toronto?
I'll tell you that Ben Nicholson-Smith and I have spent an inordinate amount of time over the past 3 days discussing precisely that and examining it in any number of different angles. And I think I was thinking about this, and I've been frazzled a little bit because there's been a lot of stuff going on. So I haven't fully gone through my memory bank on this, but I'm struggling to think of another player transaction in Canadian sports history, aside from the Wayne Gretzky trade, that is as impactful across the industry and across, across the continent, across even sort of the global sports scene as this signing would be. So I think that's sort of the magnitude that we're talking. And then you think about it, so there's obviously the baseball element, which is massive. There is the business element in it, which is super significant too. There's what that does to the media industry and the sports media industry in the country because of the interest that there will be in it. What that does clearly to the Blue Jays as a product within the Toronto sports market. What that does to the Blue Jays as a TV property. I mean, the magnitude is massive. And you know, was talking to an executive last night, and he said that his theory was that one of the reasons the Angels couldn't trade him at the deadline this past summer was because he was so valuable to all these sponsorship agreements in place that they simply couldn't walk away from all those. And so I think that's a little bit of a hint into the scale of impact that we're talking here. And, you know, I don't think it's hyperbole to say if this were to happen, it would be one of the most significant sports transactions, if not the most significant sports player transaction in Canadian sports franchise history.
Whew, it's hard to move off of that exciting dream, but is plan B Juan Soto? Because like it doesn't sound like as exciting, but Juan Soto is an incredible baseball player. And if the Blue Jays can't get Shohei Ohtani, will they be trying or should they be trying to get Juan Soto?
Yeah, I mean, they're in that market. I think at least based on the current asks that we're seeing from the San Diego Padres, like I don't see the Blue Jays in on Soto at that price range, but you know, I really feel that there's an element there that look, the Yankees are probably leaking the asks to try and say, hey, San Diego's being ridiculous and pressure them down. And San Diego could very well be leaking, hey, the Blue Jays are interested as a way to try and get the Yankees to up their bidding. Cause you know, all hell will break loose in New York if the Blue Jays were to either sign Ohtani or, you know, get Soto at the expense of the Yankees. So that would certainly change things in that market. So I do think there's interest there. I'd be kind of thinking that the Blue Jays price point on that wouldn't be where the Padres seem to be asking right now. And I do think there's a lot of brinksmanship going on with multiple parties in around that, that could be designed to try and use the Blue Jays to inflate or deflate a price.
So very possibly Shohei or nothing.
Not nothing. There would be other players.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of like, you know,
that big,
big game sure. hunting, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's really what's in the market. Now, there could be some possibilities via trade or require a lot more creativity. But that's out there. And that's possible. But look, if Ohtani doesn't, the Ohtani possibility is so tantalizing that if it doesn't happen, almost anything else will seem small by comparison, right? This is literally a singular opportunity, yeah. Right? You get one shot to acquire Babe Ruth. And so, there's nothing that's going to make people feel better, but the Blue Jays could still, even if there's no Ohtani or no Soto, still have a very good offseason and get a handful of very good players who will make them a better team. Mm-hmm. But you know, the opportunity of Ohtani is a once in a generation kind of thing, even rarer than that. And so you know, I think that's part of what the Blue Jays are working through right now. That's a part of the reality they're functioning in, that this is an incredible possibility, one that has certainly captured everybody's imagination. And if it doesn't happen, there's no way to counter the disappointment or to soothe the disappointment. It's going to sting for everybody, especially yeah. given how much time they've invested in it.
It's going to be hard to pick up the pieces both for the Blue Jays and in this studio, I think. Shai, we got to let you go. Keep gleaning information from the winter meetings and let us know if we should be on X or Twitter, whatever you call it. Thanks again.
I got tweet notifications on, Shai.
All right. I appreciate it, guys. Have
Send
a good
it
one.
Out. Send it out.
That's Sportsnet Shai Davidi.
I don't think I'll be able to rest until this is solidified. I got another vintage Jay sweater on today. I'm doing my part. I know we are all trying our best to not, you know.
And Shohei appreciates it.
I think he will appreciate it. Okay.
Should we make some picks here?
We should. Time now for Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. My amazing JJJ parlay hit last night. So I'm doing the biggest and most bold ever. The NHL, or the National Hughes League, is all on the ice tonight. All three brothers will play each other for the first time. So let's get them all to score. Luke, Jack, and Quinn to all score a goal tonight, plus 4,000.
I actually
don't
hate it.
It's the Hughes Bowl.
I don't hate it one bit. Maybe Luke will have a tough time, but Jack and Quinn, I like their odds. Quickly, I'm going Red Wings. It's on Sportsnet tonight, Detroit in Buffalo. I think this is insult to injury. We got Pat Kane. You didn't. Now we're going to beat you. Detroit over Buffalo
by
more than two goals. Plus money. Let's go.
Love that. Plus 185. All right. That was Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. We're going to get into some discussion about a Canadian legend who's hitting the pitch for the last time. That's in about a couple hours. But we'll have Bev Priestman, Kaylin Kyle all next on the Fan Pregame.
diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back on the Fan Pregame. Ailish and Justin, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Before we get into tonight's legendary wrap-up for Christine Sinclair, we'll give you the latest Twitter pulse check. Tom Verducci said on MLB Network 5 to 10 minutes ago that he believes Shohei Ohtani's market is down to two teams, the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. He also spent the first couple minutes of this hit hyping up Toronto and their pursuit of Ohtani and their beautiful spring training facility and the controlled conditions at Rogers Center. And a note on the Dodgers spring training facility, it is shared with the Chicago White Sox, so no privacy, you're sharing facilities. Whereas you can come
leading the propaganda.
You went
from facts from Tom Verducci.
That's a factual thing. It's factual that you are sharing your facility with Chicago White Sox.
The Dodgers have a couple things appealing.
Here's box A on this desk. Your own beautiful upgraded $80 million spring training facility, or box two, you share it with the Chicago White Sox.
Or the tie goes to the organization that didn't run their mouths.
And that is why I want to hear Blue Jays pulsing through these speakers. All right, that's enough for now. We did get a chance to chat with Bev Priestman earlier today ahead of tonight's match. It is at Christine Sinclair Place, formerly known as BC Place. Mm-hmm. Of course, tonight is a big one.
For the night.
Tonight is a massive night, going to be emotional for many. We talked to Bev just about tonight, managing those emotions and doing it right for Sinclair. This is what she had to say earlier in our discussion.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have to accept it's going to be a bit raw and a bit real. And maybe don't know how the team, how Christine are going to feel in that, you know, in that moment. But I think we have to give them an unbelievable send-off. It should be an unbelievable night. And I think we just have to enjoy the moment, but don't get me wrong, Christine is going to absolutely want to win this game too.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to control the emotions, but Australia, they played them on Friday night. They crushed them 5-0, so the good vibes were there. They're going to continue them tonight in her 331st international game. Someone that knows her quite well, Kaylin Kyle, joining us, MLS analyst and former national team member. Kaylin, thanks so much for coming on to chat a little bit with us tonight. How's it going?
I'm good. Sorry if you hear my three-year-old in the background, Hendrix. This is what happens when you're a mom of two baby boys and you're trying to juggle everything. I'm good. I'm a little bit devastated. I was actually supposed to be in Vancouver today. Unfortunately, obviously the MLS Cup final is in Columbus. We kind of got that figured out. So I have to go in a day early, but I'm devastated. I've been texting with all the girls and all the former players that are on ground currently right now. Christine Sinclair, I sent her just like a nice little message, and then just catching up with Carmelina Moscato. So I'm devastated to not be there tonight, but I know, you know, the fans always in Vancouver continue to show up with the Southsiders, and former teammates are there, current team, even injured players are there. So yeah, it's going to be a moment of celebration. And again, I'm bummed to be missing it because she, you know, was the player that I looked up to growing up, and everyone else as well.
So when you're beginning to reminisce and share stories with teammates and with Christine, I guess, where do you start? Is there something that made Christine so special, either on or off the pitch? You know, obviously we've heard she's such a great leader, she's such a good competitor, but you got to share those moments with her. What is it that comes to mind first?
Yeah, I think with Christine, I remember growing up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, where it was ice hockey players. Yeah, I'll get it for you 1 second, baby. It was ice hockey players. So it was, you know, the Wayne Gretzky's that we looked up to, the Mario, like the Lemieux. So when I knew I wanted to play soccer, it was actually the U19 World Championship. And it was, I asked for tickets for my birthday to my mom, and she was like, soccer? Okay. Like I played like recreational. I was good at it. And I fell in love with both Christine Sinclair and Carmelina Moscato. Carm's going to kill me for saying this, but I fell in love with Carm's hair and then obviously just the skill set of Christine Sinclair. And then my passion grew from there. So that was my first memory of her. And I remember her signing this poster. I actually still have it at my family home in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, which is kind of cringy to say, but I do, because it's something that I'm proud of and something that I'm going to cherish forever. And then the second memory, I remember the 2011 World Cup in Germany, and I had gotten the start in the first opening game against Germany. And I remember in the tunnel, it was like all cement. There were 75,000 people, and I was scared shitless. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear in here, but so sorry. If I get in trouble, I'll pay the fine.
Keep it to one.
It was probably the best moment of my professional national team career, because she put her hands on my shoulders and she said, just breathe. It's going to be okay. You were selected for a reason, and you were brought in by Canada for a reason. I'm like, yeah, easy for you to say. You're the world's best player and like top goal scorer for male and female national teams. So that's definitely a memory I'll always keep hold of. And then, you know, she loves to drink a good margarita, and so do I. So we connected on that as well.
Spicy or regular?
I don't do spicy, just regular and no salt around the rim.
What about keep Christine, it simple. Though? We need information on the goat.
She does both, but she does like salt around the rim. So
I love that story, because I think one thing that separates Christine is that, you know, it's international megastar and then the rest of the team. Like, it's their team, right? And everybody else kind of follows suit. And in some ways it was that, but she seems to put an emphasis on team. So how does she elevate group? How does she make it about not just her, but everything that you're trying to build together?
She doesn't ever, like, I know this sounds crazy, but it's actually not what she does on the pitch. It's what she does off the pitch behind closed doors. I mean, when she's on the pitch, you know, she's the world's best player. I mean, if you're a fan, you see that. If you're a player, you see that, both male and female side. But it's the communication she has with players off the pitch, not talking about football, that I think for me as a person and player from Saskatoon, and even to this day when I see her on the pitch, she's a goat, because she's just a normal human being. Like, she never wants the limelight. She never wants the sponsorship. She never wants the commercials. She's just always the player that is first to show up to the training ground, last to leave, and then genuinely just asks about your day. And, you know, she'll throw in tactics in there, here and there, but it's genuinely just about you as a human being, which now I'm a mom of two baby boys, and that's the only thing that matters. It's about inspiring the next generation, whether they're boys, girls, or whoever they belong to. They just, you know, just to create a pathway that we didn't have. We didn't have female role models to look up to. We didn't have a player like Quinn to look up to and show that it's okay to be who you are and be successful at who you are, which I think is a really cool way that we can, you know, be comfortable in this world, that you can accept who anyone, you know, doesn't matter their color, doesn't matter their race, what they believe in, where they're from, if they're immigrants of Canada. And Sync just makes you feel like the girl next door, and as if you've been her best friend forever, which I think is really cool. And I can say it. I mean, I've played with top players around the world, and there's no one like Christine Sinclair.
How do you think she's handling this this day, or this tour around her, the star of the show? Lots of attention. You know, you mentioned she's not one to want to be in the spotlight, but she is in the spotlight. They renamed the stadium for her tonight, and she's going to have hundreds and hundreds of friends and family there. Do you think that she takes a moment to let that sink in? Do you think that she's not intimidated by the moment, but understanding of it in a sense? Because it's pretty absolutely incredible what's going to happen tonight.
Yeah, I think obviously she's going to soak it in. I would probably put a margarita on it, that she'll have a little bit of tears once that national anthem does play in Vancouver. You know, it's where she was born. It's her family and friends. I think she has like 148 tickets. I think I saw in a press release that she asked from Canada Soccer for and got all those. I mean, she's beloved in Canada, but more so beloved in BC. And so I think there'll definitely be a moment where either, you know, during the national anthem, just knowing Sync, where she'll become emotional or getting subbed off. Obviously, Bev will probably give her that moment just to let the crowd, you know, do their thing and let, you know, that standing ovation and what she truly deserves. So, I know deep down she puts on this persona that she's the toughest person in the world. And, you know, she's not an emotional character, and that's not the case. She wears her heart on her sleeve. And I think this moment, that's one of the things I'm devastated that I'm not going to be able to be there in person tonight to witness, you know, the world's greatest player get the proper send-off that she deserves. But it just goes to show as well, like, how many former players paid for their flights, hotels, accommodation to be there for this moment. And I think that speaks volume of not only Christine Sinclair as a player, but first and foremost as a person, which makes her truly special.
So it's not a worry tonight, but it might be a worry tomorrow. There will be a post-Sinclair era for Canada Soccer, and especially on the women's side, do you worry about where this team is in her wake, or is the influence she had going to carry them through another generation?
No, I think you've seen that. And I hate to, you know, put a negative on this, but you've seen the decline of the Canadian women's national team. And I think, you know, players have been outspoken about that. We don't have a domestic league. Thank God for a former player like Dina Matheson, Steph Labbe, and these players that are trying to lay a foundation that should have been laid 10 years ago. So we have fallen behind in the world. And, you know, the pathways of the next generation is more difficult in order to create a new Christine Sinclair. We do have a player like a Jordan Heidema that I think you can see her confidence growing in the NWSL. She decided to put herself out there in Europe and gain that experience overseas, which I think she's done a fantastic job. But we've relied so heavily on Christine Sinclair over the years, even, you know, at the tail end of her career, that I don't think we, you know, have done a good enough job maybe putting that pressure on a younger player to really lead this side. And, you know, I get both sides of it. Being a manager, I wouldn't take Christine Sinclair off the pitch either. I'd probably wheel her out there in a wheelchair until she couldn't walk anymore. But I think, you know, you look at Canada Soccer and you look at the disarray over the past 2 years and everything that's come out publicly, there's no trust there at the moment. So it's going to take a lot of time to patch things up there. I know, though, there is a lot of amazing coaches. There's a lot of amazing players that are, you know, wanting to turn things around from the grassroots. There's amazing youth coaches in Canada as well. I've been coached by plenty of them. So there's definitely the coaches in place. And I know that there, you know, there's the infrastructure in Canada. And you're seeing that with Dina Matheson being the front runner of that with Project 8. Rhianne Wilkinson, one of the top coaches in North America. Carmelina, one of the top coaches in North America. You have someone like Jason DeVos that is in Canada Soccer right now that, you know, was a top player on the men's side that hopefully we can use him there for leadership within, you know, the governance body, which is obviously needed. I don't need to speak too much about that. I think everything's very public with what's gone on there. But, you know, I do hope, and I don't know what Christine Sinclair's plans are post-retirement. I mean, God, I would love her to be somewhere, somehow in part of Canada Soccer, because I think you look at someone like her and not only the legacy she's left on the pitch, but people trust her. Like a Joe Schmo from the streets trusts her. And that just goes to show that, you know, I hope she doesn't leave us. I really hope that she can continue her legacy within North America, but specifically in Canada.
Yeah, we got a chance to chat with Bev Priestman a little bit earlier in the day. We kind of asked her the same thing, and she seemed confident that Christine would have her hand somewhere down the road with Canada Soccer, at least with the youth development area as well. So that is a good point.
You guys should see my smile right now.
Yes, Lindsay. Yes.
That's
okay,
the
good.
First I've heard, so amazing.
She felt pretty confident that she'd at least want to take that next step. I know she's got another year in the NWSL, but yeah, we'll see. But I feel like she won't stray too far. You have gone into the MLS analyst world, of course, and we need to ask you a little bit about the Cup this weekend. You know, we didn't pay too much attention after the TFC were, you know,
didn't have
the greatest year, you know, up here in Canada. So we might have turned our head a little bit, but it is the Cup this weekend, Saturday, 4 p.m., Columbus versus the defending champs. So give us like a Sparks notes of what to expect. Who's going to win?
Oh, God, you guys, if you took a look at my bracket, it was all over the place. Okay. I genuinely thought Cincinnati, Houston were going to be in the final, and that didn't pan out. But I think it just goes to show, you know, the quality in Major League Soccer, the amount of money and that's being pumped into it. You know, you look at Commissioner Don Garber. He's done such a fantastic job of taking, you know, such a new league. Like, I think people forget that this is such a new league and he's turned it into something amazing. We have the world's greatest number 10 that chose to come to MLS. And I think people forget that. Like, it's not a retirement league anymore. He could have still played at Barcelona. He could have still continued to play at PSG. There were so many clubs in Europe that were after him, and he decided to move his family overseas to Inter Miami. And I mean, you guys saw the first tournament they're in with the League's Cup, they ended up winning it. So I have to give massive credit to, you know, Major League Soccer, the organization, the owners that are willing to really put their money where their mouth is and take this league to the next level, which I'm so delighted to be part of, especially with Apple coming in and taking this thing globally. Because you guys know in Canada, you only ever got the TFC, the Montreal games, the Vancouver Whitecaps games. Now you can tune in and everything's under one umbrella. But the match this weekend is so exciting because you have the Golden Boot winner and Denny Bwanga with LAFC that kind of had a weird season. You know, they were in so many tournaments and expected to win them all and kind of crashed and burned. And you could see the fatigue play a massive role in that. And then they peaked at the right moment at the right time and just showed the experience in which they have in that team. I mean, Chiellini at the back, you're thinking, is he too old to really lead this team from behind? And he's played absolutely fantastic. Just the leadership he brings. Denny Bwanga, this could be Carlos Vela's last dance with LAFC. He's out of contract at the end of this year, but just what he's done, not only for LA, but Major League Soccer. I mean, he's unbelievable, both on and off the pitch. So we're so lucky to have him. And then you look on the flip side of it, and I hate to keep bringing up Canadian teams, but Wilfred Nancy, former Montreal coach, then comes to Columbus and completely turns them around. And they play this beautiful brand of football, defensively difficult to break down. For me, one of the most intriguing midfielders other than Houston Dynamo. I mean, you look at Nagby and the emotions that he had last game, of what it meant to him and what it meant to the team. And then someone like a Christian Ramirez that's, you know, come off the bench back-to-back game, two game-winning goals, just had a baby on Monday. I'm like, God, it's been a good week for you. So it's just, it's tough to pick. I'm delighted that both of them selfishly are in the final because we'll be pitch side for it. So it's going to be an incredible game. The fans are going to be phenomenal. It didn't matter where it was going to be in Ohio, whether it was Cincinnati or Columbus, you know, the fans are always going to turn up. Mm. I kind of want to give the edge to LAFC just because Denny Bwanga can make something out of nothing. He's just a game-changing player in big moments. But then you look at big players and big moments and the experience Columbus has and Wilfred Nancy. I want to sit on the fence, and I never sit on the fence. But I'm sitting on the fence on this one, and I'm allowed to because I'm a host and not an analyst.
That's
but,
it.
yeah, no, I feel like I might give LAFC the edge, though.
Okay, well, we're betting it. No, I'm just kidding. We won't hold you accountable. But
we'll
you,
no, don't. No, we're betting. My bracket, honestly, guys. Like, I really felt good about my bracket, and it was mayhem.
Well, we hope that next year you'll have a lot more positive TFC stories to cover. We got a new coach, a familiar face, and only way to go up, and that is up for the Toronto FC. So looking forward to that. I hope you enjoy tonight's festivities from home. It'll be an emotional one for everyone, and I'm sure you'll be very proud to have shared the pitch with Christine Sinclair and all she's done for Canada. So we appreciate your time tonight, Kaylin, and we'll definitely chat with you down the road.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much. And sorry about my son asking for milk and wanting to watch football. I really apologize.
It's okay. It's very authentic you.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks so much. Kaylin Kyle, MLS analyst and former national team member, played with Christine Sinclair, of course, and now gets to live in the Messi mania. Wow, it was hard to say fast. Messi mania.
Yeah, it was easy to get distracted this MLS season. You know, you mentioned it, you laid it out, tough one for TFC.
Yeah.
But also the Messi mania kind of was like, oh, they're like last, but everyone just wants to watch Messi in Miami. And it was like, oh, there's actually a season going on and other teams are competing for the MLS Cup. I miss the MLS Cup days. That was a fun couple years.
There's nowhere but up for
a couple years that were pretty fun when TFC was elite. That's not the case anymore. But again, you said it, only one direction.
Well, you wrote this in our notes here. Like, how does living with Messi mania compared to what's going on here with Otani news? And I don't know, but remember when Messi announced that he was coming to North America, it like shook the global sporting world. Like, we are in that right now with Shohei Otani. We are in the shaking of the global sporting world moment.
Well, yeah, and Shai laid it out. We asked him earlier about like what the impact would be if he came to Toronto. I agree. It would be the greatest, most significant transaction in Canadian sports history. I don't really think you can quibble with that notion. But to compare it to Messi or to compare it to Ronaldo, I was looking at Instagram followers earlier. Over 600 million more people follow Cristiano Ronaldo than Shohei Ohtani. So, like, it is massive. It is globally a huge story. It's one of the biggest international stars in the world. But does anything really compare to a soccer star moving continents? I don't know. Like, it does feel like it would be a bigger deal. It's a bigger deal for sure in Canada. Mm-hmm. In south of the border, is Messi or Otani moving a bigger deal? I'm not really sure, but that puts it to scale a little bit. Like, Otani, we are bracing for impact here. And Cristiano Ronaldo has him by over 600 million Instagram followers. It's pretty amazing how big those soccer players are. And we just lived it. Messi mania.
Soccer is a global sport.
It was huge. Yes, yeah. 100%. But this is the special thing about Shohei and why it's different than just like Juan Soto or any other baseball player that maybe joins the Jays this offseason, is that it involves and brings in an entire country. I mean, the entire country of Japan will be suddenly invested, 172 million people, suddenly invested in what's going on in Toronto's sports landscape. And that, I don't think we can even begin to put a price tag on that. It's going to be so meaningful and so impactful. But again, it's not messy.
I just keep refreshing Twitter and I keep getting notifications. Nothing new at this moment. But producer Mike did say that we have an audio clip from Dave Roberts on this Ohtani meeting. Now, I don't know if we're overstating how important this slip up, and maybe not even a slip up, but just going against what we are all on this understanding of, that you can't talk about Shohei Ohtani meetings. Don't do it because you
might
be...
The first rule of Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes is don't talk about the Shohei Ohtani
sweepstakes. Very good, Justin.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of you for that. So here's a clip. This is Dave Roberts about the Ohtani meeting. I don't know. Let's evaluate if it sounds like a clip that might have sunk the Dodgers.
It's a good possibility. I think that, we met with him. You know, I don't want to... I'd like to be honest. And so we met with Shohei, and we talked, and I think it went well. But at the end of the day, he's his own man. And he's going to do what's best for himself, where he feels most comfortable.
Okay,
there's two things here. There's unaware, right? Mm-hmm. Blissfully unaware, maybe.
That doesn't sound like blissfully unaware.
And then there's like, you know what? I talk about who I want to talk about, right? A little rebellious. That was, if we're doing the spectrum there, that was more on the...
Well, I saw
that. No one can tell me who I'm going to talk about.
Did you see the video of him?
No.
So the video of him...
Was it that same clip?
That clip. I've watched it.
Okay.
He does this thing where he like kind of looks around like before he goes into the point of, yeah, we talked to him. And it's like he's weighing Shohei, freedom, what should I say? And there's a moment where he I'm going to go into it. So then Bob Nightingale tweeted out an article about this because they're all there watching. We're like reading body language at this point. How many blinks per minute, whatever. And he said, quote, Robert spoke freely and relaxed for 20 minutes, but his face became serious as he spent several moments reading a text message on his phone after the session. He immediately huddled with Dodgers public relations officials. I mean, you're not... that's something, Justin. I'm like clinging. Well, you could report that he had a sandwich for lunch, and I'm going to be like, well, I don't know. Sandwich to signing ratio is low. It's not...
Sandwich to signing ratio... I think,
I don't know.
That's the point. There's a little like defiance there. It's like I checked my email. I just didn't read or comprehend or want to read
I'm
the email.
I'm sweating. I'm just like, I need this to happen.
He read the email and he's like, you know what? I'm doing it anyway. And then he gets smacked around a little bit, but via text message or email, whatever it is. The GM's not happy afterwards answering questions about, yeah, we talked about it. I don't know why Dave Roberts did that. Again, if it comes down to who's following the rules, slam dunk for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I want to talk to someone in Switzerland. Just someone that doesn't have a like vying interest in this and just be like, there's a team.
Like a metaphor Switzerland or Switzerland?
Kind of both.
Okay.
Here's a team that is in a country all by itself. You're the only team in the whole country. Beautiful country, let me tell you. Nice, lovely people. And that team has don't worry about it. An immaculate training facility. Mm-hmm. And they don't share it with anyone. It's all yours. And they just renovated it. It's best in baseball. And they have a beautiful ballpark right downtown. Nice, multicultural, friendly city. And it's going to be renovated twice in 2 years. It's going to be pristine. Doesn't that sound like a place you'd want to go play baseball? And you get to be the star, but we're not too pushy. Like, we'll let you do your thing.
Mm.
But also you get to be the face of, like, you want to be on an advertisement? You want to sell these bad boys? Like, we can do it for you. And it can be all yours, Shohei, but we won't be, like, too annoying. We'll let you do your thing.
Can we be not annoying, though?
I feel like
we're an annoying sports city.
We've been a little bit annoying with
We didn't drive Kawhi Leonard away, but we were following him around for a little bit.
Well, we did do the Kawhi airplane tracker.
We were following that guy around.
And I will say today I did see a tweet thread of somebody tracking private planes.
Yeah.
And probably Shohei's private plane.
But that involves LA, too.
I won't say I could never be mad at people for being this passionate. At least we care. We're tracking this private plane that nobody even knows whose it is because we care that much about getting Shohei. I'm proud of it. I'd rather us be that than be like, whoa, I don't really care if we get him or not. This is a special moment. Like, there's no more Shohei Ohtanis for another 100 years, so let's get him.
No.
That's my speech tonight.
The stakes are high. It's either... Shohei Ohtani, or we're still talking about the decision to lift Jose Berríos.
Well, I will say Barrios' number is Shohei's number. So maybe the final thing we need to do is Barrios says, here's Shohei, you can have 17, and he's sold, right?
Maybe that puts it over the line.
Okay, everyone. Another day goes by. We'll be back tomorrow in the fan pregame. I'll be wearing another Jays item because we're going to get this guy.